really had nothing to do with getting you here, had no work to do. So I want to thank everybody, be the first to thank all of you who did. And you've heard from a lot of them, but as you know, in terms of a membership committee and promotion, this has been a really great, looks like a really great conference, and I can tell a lot of work went into it, and I want to thank you. It's great to be in Austin. There's so much to do hearing about it. I told my wife I was looking forward to the swinging 60s, and she said, forget it. But it's really, it looks like a wonderful weekend. And we're going to have a great start with this session, which I forget what it's called in the program, but look back at 78 RPM records, but it's sort of more like the sacred and the profane and something in between. So I'm pleased that we can start with the profane and introduce to you, those who don't know him, John Tefteller from Oregon, who has who runs Blues Images, which he will be speaking about this morning, but also auctions recordings, primarily 1950s rhythm and blues, rock and rhythm and blues. And you should look at his website of his auction, tefteller.com. The prices make Nauk look like the Goodwill, but it's a lovely website and good stuff. But let me bring up John and thank you very much.
I'm the profane. I only met this guy once before. How does he get that?
I wouldn't say that if he didn't like you.
And my auctions make Nauk look like what? Well, they do, but it's not my fault. It's what the bidders bid. I don't control that part. Well, it doesn't really move, but I'll go down for it. I guess since I'm here for the profane, he's referring to the blues. My background is, I'm a record dealer. I started dealing in records when I was in like junior high school, selling used LPs to my fellow classmates. I would pick them up at the swap meet and then turn them over the next Monday at the high school. Somewhere along the way, that became a career, and somewhere along the way of that, in fact, within the last 10 years or so, the pre-war blues records sort of grabbed me by the throat and wouldn't let go. I became immersed in that as a collector and have assembled quite a batch of those things by spending a lot of that money that I'm making on these rock and roll records. In the middle of all of that, a few years ago, I stumbled across a collection of original Paramount advertising material, and I guess that's the focus of why I was asked to be here today. The topic that they gave was selling the blues. I have a little audiovisual presentation which was made up for me by someone who works for me part-time a year or so ago. I haven't used this in a year or so, so I'm going to put it in the computer and see if it actually still functions, but it'll give you an idea of what all this is, assuming I even know how to put it in the computer. Does anyone know how to work one of these things? I am not computer literate, despite having a beautiful website, which someone does for me.
Hopefully it'll run by itself, we'll see. So you have to bring up PowerPoint, which is...
Yeah. Give it a second.
Oh, okay. Just keep saying nothing moves.
You just put a disc in?
I did put it, yeah.
There's sound with the function.
Mm-hmm. It does, and here's your volume control. The sound. And do you know what to do from here?
No, I don't see the menu to pull it up.
Okay.
We were supposed to come early to rehearse this.
Yeah, what happened?
Sorry. Well, I was here early, but they were setting up.
We put a bigger screen in because of the bigger room.
When there's something to see, you can all see.
You can check it all.
You know what to do from there?
There needs to be a way to click it to change it.
Are you not familiar with that?
No. I used this once.
Okay, we're going to go slideshow. Hit the enter button or click the left mouse to. You want me to go ahead and put this on screen?
Yeah. All right, well, allegedly it works, and sorry for the delay here, but I am no computer expert, and I warned them before I came up here. This is just to get going, it's an idea. The topic that they asked me to speak on was selling the blues, because the original advertising material that was produced by the Paramount Record Company in Port Washington, Wisconsin, actually is the basis for all of this. Paramount was the first company, as far as I know, to actually run targeted advertisements for blues records. They originally started advertising in the Chicago Defender in the early 1920s and continued until they started running out of money about 1930. They had very clever artwork, which some of you will recognize as having very much inspired the 60s underground cartoonist Robert Crumb, or R. Crumb, as he signs all his material. This batch of advertising artwork that was found was from the actual printer's files for Paramount. There was a newspaper in Port Washington the same time that Paramount Records was operating called the Port Washington Herald, and they did all the printing for Paramount of the original advertisements. The first time any of this was located was in the 60s, and some of it was reproduced in a book on Paramount discography by Max Vrede from Holland. The copies that he was able to use came from microfilm. They weren't the greatest quality, but they were there. You could see them, and you could start to appreciate what was the way the artists had drawn them. The cache of artwork that was found a few years ago was about 100 times better in crispness and clarity, because it was right from the original prints and printed on paper that hadn't been looked at in years. This paper was just about to be thrown away, and two reporters who worked for a newspaper who took over the offices of the Port Washington Herald found the material on the loading docks to be thrown away, and they didn't think it was a good idea to throw it away, so they divided it up and took it home. And there were photographs, Paramount stationery, Paramount files, anything to do with Paramount that was printed by the Port Washington Herald was in these boxes that were supposed to be thrown away. So they divided all this stuff up and took it home, and this was 1982, and just left it sitting there, not realizing its historical importance. I guess what I'll do is just run some of these slides and show you some of the artwork, and there's some music that goes along with it, and then if you have any questions, we can go from there. As you can see by that, there is a book coming on all this stuff. There's over 2,000 individual pieces of artwork for jazz and blues records, mainly blues. They didn't do too much advertising for jazz. They thought they would have a better time selling blues records based on the ads than jazz, so there's not a lot of jazz ads, but it's about 80% blues. And there will be a book on that. I also do a yearly calendar with 12 of the images reproduced in big size that comes along with a CD that matches up to each of the tracks. So you can look at the original ad and then play the CD and hear the original song. And there's a box of them there, and as many of you as want one while that box lasts can take one before the end of the day here. So I'm going to see if this works now. Yeah, these are just little things that we put together for another conference, but it gives you an idea of... Robert Crumb is just in love with these pieces of art, so he writes all kinds of stuff about them. This is a photograph of the Paramount offices, actually. It's not the studio. Somebody got that wrong, sorry, in Grafton.
Actually, the offices of the Wisconsin Chair Company, and they had offices for Paramount within that building. This was taken in 1923. These are photographs of some of the employees of Paramount loading up boxes of records and taking them to the post office, and then the bottom photograph is after they finished. So they actually did sell quite a lot of records back then. Wherever they went now, we all are looking.
Yeah, they weren't real good as far as always getting their cartoons right. Yes, this is actually a drawing of Blind Lemon Jefferson that they incorporated for a Sunhouse ad. The interesting thing about this collection of advertisements is that the Chicago Defender ads stopped in 1930 when Paramount was running out of money, but they continued to produce advertisements for another 3.5 years, which they sent out to record stores to use as promotional posters in the stores. And the collection contained not only most of the Chicago Defender ads, but also a whole batch of ads that were done afterwards that had never been seen anywhere. So that was one of the... They've been seen in record stores in 1930, but haven't been seen since. Yeah, there is audio on, but it's not working, and I'm ignoring that because I don't know how to use it anyway. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I just put some of the songs along the outlet. Mm-hmm. modern technology and old blues advertising don't always mix. In fact, if it doesn't work, we can turn on the lights and you can ask questions, because I don't know how to run this thing. So.
Somebody else. Well, they've got the cues for murder, and I haven't even harmed a man.
some samples. I took some from the later period, which hadn't been reproduced in most books.
It's really interesting to see how
Paramount was the first company to market blues records in this way. And as you noticed on some of the slides, if you know this, there are some other companies in there as well. There's a couple things for Vocalion and all that. So they adopted the style and used them on other labels as well. Paramount was, I guess, the innovator in the mail order record sales back in the 20s, because they used to create these ads and send them to record stores, send them to newspapers, and then the big push was that you could order your Paramount records through the mail and they would send them to you. So I've talked to people in Port Washington who say that they remember that their parents or grandparents worked at the post office and there were all these sacks of checks for 50 cents and a dollar coming in from Mississippi and Georgia and whatever, all addressed to the Paramount Record Company on a weekly basis. And then they would box the records up and send them out. And no other company was doing that. It was an innovative way of distributing records at the time, and now it's how we all distribute the old records that we're recycling 75 years later.
For 50 cents?
No, they're no longer 50 cents, as everyone's been most happy to point out here. Yes? Okay, yeah, Paramount was the first to do it, you're correct. OK did it a little bit, and Victor did it a little bit. Some of the other labels adopted it. Most of the other labels did not do it as well, and the drawings are not as interesting to look at, although some of them are. And the second question was what?
Is there artwork for Paramount's
country,
the
3,000? No. There may be, but there wasn't any in this collection. They weren't trying to market country records, apparently, the same way they were trying to market blues records. At least it appears that way from these files. Now, they may have had separate files for country that I never saw or never got, but everything that was in these files, 90% of it was blues and jazz. There was a little bit of dance band type material done and a very tiny bit of country, but not really ads. It was more like just sheets with the titles listed and saying, here's the latest hillbilly records from Paramount.
Anything on the Dempsey Tony?
Not that I remember seeing, no. There's 2,000 different advertisements in the collection, though. Yes, Carrie? Oh, yeah, I didn't mention the Charlie Patton Studio Portrait. I'm wearing one on my shirt. Probably the most significant thing in the collection outside of the artwork was the full-body photograph of Charlie Patton, which had never been seen before. Everybody just had seen the little headshot for years. And the full-body shot was in there. There were photographs of Blind Lemon Jefferson, Blind Blake, and some others, but most of the other photographs had been seen before. Now, the prints of the other photographs, in most cases, are a lot crisper and clearer than what's been seen before, but they are photographs that have been seen before. Anybody else? Yeah, I didn't know how in depth you all want me to be, so I can explain any of it. But Paramount, one of the partners in Paramount Records was a fellow named Fred Berner, and Fred Berner was the one that was kind of in charge of promoting the records. But they did it in a curious way. They kind of had him set up as an independent businessman, and they called it the F.W. Berner Company of Port Washington, Wisconsin. And they were advertising themselves as the world's largest distributor of race records. What they didn't really disclosed to people was that he was a partner in Paramount, and 90% of what they were pushing was Paramount Records. So they did push other labels, and they did handle other labels, but the big focus was Paramount. Yes? Well, most of the ones I showed you were not published in the newspapers. Some of them, the earlier ones were. All the later ones for the 13,000 Paramounts, those were never published in the Chicago Defender. They had stopped advertising in the Defender by that time. They were used as promotional posters and flyers and little handbills that were given out in record stores and mailed out to their prior mail order customers. One more, okay. Uh-huh. No, I don't really know. The drawings were made by the artist to sell the records to a African-American audience. They weren't selling too many to white people at that time. So they were gearing them to what they thought would sell in a black audience.
Probably more light-skinned than white.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure if you were correct in your assumption that they were white girls in the picture. None of this was done in color, so we don't really know. I have colored a few of them, as you'll see on the front cover of the calendar. And before you go, you can grab a calendar as long as there's some here. Anybody else before I get off? Because we're at the time, if not a little bit over. Okay, well, thank you for having me. Yeah, there'll be a calendar every year, so. And he asked about the book. The book will be in, as far as I know at this point, fall of next year.
Thank you very much. I'm happy now to introduce